Welcome back to the PE Podcast. I just want to say a massive thank you for your support so far. And if you could do me a massive favour, go onto our social media accounts, like, follow, subscribe to YouTube and click the bell icon to get a notification when we upload our next video. On our podcast today is Danielle Kahn. She's an elite cyclist from Solihull. She's going to talk to you about her career, overcoming challenges, how school sort of helped shape her career and her love for sport, and hopefully you'll take some inspiration and advice from her and apply it in your daily life.
My name's Danielle Kahn. I'm now 25 years old. I went to Widney Junior School and then went to Tudor Grange Academy. I always had a massive interest in sport, so PE and BTEC sport were my chosen subjects throughout school and life. You know, if there was a choice of doing art or music or something physically active or a sports day race over something, you know, musical or arty, it would always be that choice. So my sporting journey began. I was a short track speed skater from the age of 8 and I trained at Solihull Ice Rink. Ended up working my way up to competing for Great Britain at the age of 14. But unfortunately then I developed Osgood's Lattice, which most children who are very active or do a lot of sport develop down to growing quickly. Basically, your muscles, tendons and ligaments can't keep up with your growth spurts and it starts to pull on your knees, your patella tendons, causing pain, like a bruising feeling. And due to the aerobic demands of skating, I needed to find something that I could underpin some aerobic conditioning on. So aerobic, easy activity, like jogging or running, but I couldn't do, obviously, because of my knee pain and the heavy impact of that. So that's where I bought a bike, and that was my saviour. Had no idea how to ride it, change gears, had no etiquette of a bike rider. Me and my dad happened to stumble across the Tudor Grange cycle circuit, which is just behind Tudor Grange School, Alderbrook School, St Peter's, very close to that, a great facility if you want to learn to cycle away from the cars and the busy roads. And yeah, we happened to stumble across Solihull Cycling Club, who were also there on the same day as we turned up, and got an invite to their club sessions, which were run on a Tuesday and a Thursday at a time. They have lots of sessions from all ages, fantastic club. Got introduced to a range of disciplines, and it was track cycling that I was really hooked to, and ended up doing quite well. No thanks to my experience, I was very inexperienced, but yeah, as I say, ended up doing quite well, and that's how my cycling journey began.
Excellent. So you say you sort of stumbled on cycling through injury, and I think a lot of students in school at the moment have one sport, and they don't sort of branch out into two or three. Was cycling, like you say, you were very new to it. Were there any sports you were interested in as well, or was it just speed skating, or did you have a few that you'd sort of dabble in here and there, or were you focused just on skating?
Well, what I studied at Tudor Grange as my chosen option was BTEC sport. So obviously skating, I haven't got an ice rink at school, so that was out of the question, and so was cycling. So I always was involved in the team sports, cricket, rounders, netball, and being able to run quite fast. Short track speed skating is a very explosive sport and requires a lot of sprint-based training away from the ice rink. So obviously I took a liking to those sports and enjoyed the team ethos of that. But also I did a lot of cross country for the school as well, and really enjoyed that. I swam when I was younger as well, so I've really had a taste of a lot of sport, and yeah, really enjoyed doing everything with Tudor Grange, you know, the PE lessons and extracurricular stuff as well.
Awesome. So is that something that you'd potentially advise to some of our students? Because I know it's such a cultural thing, but you speak to so many lads who are in GCSE PE in Cambridge, and what sport do you play? Football? never try anything else, not interested in trying anything else. But I don't think they understand that so much of those sports carry over to different things. So you could be good at football, and that then as a result, you could be good at basketball, you could be good at rugby, and you could find your opening in that. And I think when you hear, there's a few podcasts to listen to, and they talk to elite athletes, they didn't just play one sport when they were younger. There's somebody who's just signed for Birmingham City called George Friend, and he was saying that rugby was his sport when he was younger, and he sort of stumbled into football and then became a professional that way. And he just sort of, like, you stumbled into cycling as a result of the injury, and you've become an elite athlete now, really, in two sports.
I 100% agree there. And I think the key is, especially while you're at younger ages, is just to get stuck into as much as you can and enjoy it. Don't specialise too early. I see that time and time again with young 14, 15, 16 year olds where they classify themselves as a sprinter, for instance. And especially with something such as cycling, it's a late specialisation sport. Getting stuck into a range of different disciplines in cycling, don't just focus on one thing. But like you say, if you're a football player and you really enjoy that, why not do rugby? Why not do cross country? And I really do think, looking across not just cyclists, but athletes, gymnasts, all the elite athletes that are at the top of their game, they have skills. And I think it is skills and a level that has been built from doing so much variety when they were younger, especially at that grassroots age. And I think for me, I owe a lot to all my skating training. That's allowed me to develop into the rider I am today. It's put those foundations in, if you like, which obviously when I'm a kid, you're a bit naive to it. But now I study sport, fitness and coaching degree. And obviously I've learned so much. I kind of look back and go, wow, that's actually aided me into the bike rider I am today.
Awesome. That's really good feedback, because I think at the school that I teach at, we try and offer, because I've taught at two or three schools, and we offer such a wide range of sports. And I think some students go into it with a bit of a closed mindset that this isn't my sport. I'm not going to be very good at it. Let's get through this 6 weeks term and we can go back to football or rugby or cricket or basketball or whatever it is. But I think it's just giving it a go and enjoying sport as a general thing, because I think as you sort of get older and older, there's more sports you wish you could play. I know I watch rugby on TV all the time now. I think I wish I had that chance at school, because as much as I enjoy watching it, I don't really understand it. There's so many rules, and I just think, what to give in that for? What to give in this for? And I wish I could play now. And it's the same with cricket. The cricket's on TV now, and I never played cricket at school. And then we're playing it a little bit at school recently with the staff. And I'm awful at it, because I never got to play at school. I never applied myself or took myself out to find a club or find a bit of training that I could have done quite easily. And I never took the advantage of having those things available to me.
No, I definitely agree. And even from my point of view, because I was short track speed skating is such an early specialisation sport like gymnastics, I was very focused at a young age. So even myself now sitting here, I look back and sometimes think, oh, it would have been nice to have gone to that netball match or gone to that swimming gala or gone to that. But I was so full on with just focusing on my skating training, which obviously I had to give it the time it needed and the commitment. But like you said, if you've got the options available, I would 100% recommend getting stuck into whatever you can and enjoying it, because you never know where it might lead to. Sitting here, I definitely have, I suppose a few regrets about not being able to do everything I wanted to do at school. So,
awesome. I think that's really good feedback and a good message to pass on. So you've been an elite athlete really in two sports, in the skating and cycling. Is that something you knew you were always going to go into, or did you take your options? Was there a career plan in place away from sport, or was it always, this is my target, I'm going to get there no matter what?
I think at a young age, through junior school especially, and senior school, it was, I'm going to be an athlete for GB, going on to the Olympic Commonwealth Games. I competed at the Commonwealth Games in Glasgow 2014, still aiming for the Olympics, and you kind of don't think that anything's going to stop that. You kind of in this like bit of an untouchable. I mean, I didn't even want to complete my A-levels. Well, I did BTEC sport actually at Solihull sixth form, and it was my cycling coaches at the time that said, no, you need to have this under your wing, you need a plan B, you never know what can happen. You know, one thing is getting injured in sport, you never know when, you know, your last game might be, your last race might be. And I think now I'm older, I've started to realise that, especially with the last year in lockdown, it makes you realise how things can be taken away from you and how you can take things for granted. So the last year I've actually used to look at what does Danny the person do, not Danny the athlete. Something I've worked on with my psychologist through my whole life, she'd always say, what do you do outside of cycling? What's your switch off? What do you do? And I've now just started a degree in sport, fitness and coaching with the Open University. So I've nearly completed my first year and I've got 5 to go. Sport doesn't last forever. However, I'm very passionate about it and I would love to help younger people in a sporting role, whatever that may be. I'm hoping my degree will give me a bit more clarity and what field or what area I'd like to work in the sport when I retire from elite professional racing.
That's really interesting because I think I listened to, like I said earlier, a few podcasts and you hear athletes now, and I think probably 20, 30 years ago, it was just the sport and that's it. But I think people have become way more open to education whilst competing. And it's obviously really beneficial in terms of a future career and just helping, you know, you might pick things up. I think, oh, I can apply that to this or I can apply 100%. Whatever to your sport.
But mentally as well, I found that my mental health, which is obviously a big thing as an athlete or as a person, you know, an athlete is a person at the end of the day, is a huge factor. And I do feel mentally so much better for having something else alongside cycling, although it is sport, fitness and coaching, so very closely related, it's still a different area of work. And the last year, I think it's really helped me, especially being in lockdown whilst all my racing and goals have been taken away. I've felt that feeling of reward and satisfaction of achieving, but in a different area. And it's 6 years, the degree, so I could look at it and think, oh my God, it's 6 years long. And a lot of my family and friends have gone, oh my gosh, that's so long. But I've just broken it down in my head, like if I'm working towards getting selected for the Commonwealth Games in a few years' time, I break it down into short-term process goals and focus on one day, 1 week at a time. Nearly completed the first year. I'm really thankful to have made the leap into studying again.
Oh, that's really, really interesting. And it's interesting that you say about breaking things down into small chunks. And I think, especially at the moment with the amount of lockdowns you've had and children at home all day and remote learning as a teacher, even though I shouldn't say, it is quite boring. It is quite tedious to be sat behind a computer screen for 5-6 hours a day when usually they'd be in school, see their friends, have a bit of a routine going. And I think one of the things in terms of mental health with our students is a bored mind, sort of left to its own devices, will create scenarios and situations and anxiety, and potentially feelings of depression or sadness. And I think hopefully with them returning to school in the next week in a sort of staggered approach will allow them to get that routine back and get them to feel a bit more comfortable and have that that variation in their day and potentially start to work backwards in terms of the symptoms of anxiety and depression, have those distractions, have those goals, and potentially live, without sounding too cliche, live in the now. Because I've listened to a podcaster recently and he's spoken about the goldfish mentality in terms of focusing on now and not really thinking too far ahead, because ultimately if you don't enjoy what's happening at the moment, then you're never really going to appreciate anything. If you're always thinking what's next, what's happening, you never get to appreciate
that. No, that's such a key thing, especially for a student or whatever line of work you're doing or an athlete, it's crucial because it can become so overwhelming if you end up letting your mind wander too far ahead. And the human brain, that's what it's unfortunately, it will do. It will look on the negatives and let yourself wander too far ahead. But I think it's key to try and remind yourself to focus on the here and now and what's in your control. That's been a big thing for me as an athlete, but also whilst I was a student and I am a student, is focusing on those things that are in your control. Whether it's down to getting up in the morning and eating a healthy breakfast, to making sure you stay organized and keep structure and routine with your day. And I think for me that's been critical over the last year, keeping that structure and routine and just using the little things to keep that in place, so I know every day what time I'm going to get up and what I'm going to have for breakfast, then how long my training's going to last for, then I set aside my study hours and then I might do some coaching work on the night, and I know how much of my day is going to be broken up like that. And it just helps mentally when you wake up in the morning rather than having no plan, and it your brain ends up going into that negative spiral, if you like.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I've suffered from that myself during sort of half terms, where you sort of get up late, definitely. You don't do anything, and then all of a sudden it's 3-4 o'clock and you think, I've achieved nothing today. And yeah, the next day,
and some days it's fine to have that. Don't get me wrong, some days I'll wake up on a rest day, and it might be a day where I'm totally switching off from studying and I just want to watch Netflix and have a few nice things to eat and chill out. Especially in the lockdown, we've probably had more days like that than we normally do, and I think it's very important to have that side as well. Yeah, I think 80-90% of the time, structure and routine is definitely key.
Yeah, definitely. So we've spoken about now your transition from skating to cycling, but you've also mentioned that you had an injury. Could we touch on that a little bit in terms of how you overcame it and the sort of steps you've taken since? And obviously with injury comes a bit of stress and depression, potentially anxiety. I've got a little knee injury at the moment, which is getting on my nerves more than I can say. It's really frustrating, but obviously yours was obviously more severe, and it made more of an impact on your sporting career than mine has. So could we go have a little chat about that and how you've overcome that?
Yeah, unfortunately I've had quite a few injuries throughout my career, most of them soft tissue based. So what I mean by soft tissue is obviously the soft tissues in your body, tendons, ligaments, bulging discs and stuff. So I was a track sprinter when I transitioned across from skating at the age of 16. I rode for Great Britain on the track sprint program, and a lot of the training is very heavy gym based to build obviously strength and power to make you ride fast on the track. But unfortunately, as I was growing quite a lot at the time, I ended up getting tendinopathies in my knees, SIJ issues, which is the joint in your lower back, and then ultimately I ended up with a bulging disc, which was pressing on the sciatic nerve, causing a lot of nerve pain, stopping me from training and racing as normal. And it did take a few years to get over because we just kept trying to push through it rather than setting the time aside to recover properly. You just keep trying to chip away and get to that next race and then deal with it. And ultimately, your weakest link in the chain is going to break. And in 2017, that's where I decided to take the time away from racing and fix myself. I mean, I want a long career in cycling. I still hope I've got another 5-10 years at least. And I knew if I was going to keep pushing the way I was just going to break down and probably end up being forced out of the sport at quite an early age. So I ended up having an epidural into my lower back, and on a 6-month rehab plan, right from, learning to switch on my glutes, your big bum muscles, to, ultimately riding on the track and racing again. And it was such a stressful time. I think because of how long from when I was first diagnosed with the injury to feeling totally pain-free and nerve-free again. And I did have phases where I did feel quite anxious. You know, I had thoughts like, will I be able to get back to that level again? Is it me? Can I handle this training? And I also felt quite depressed at days. I just wanted to hide away from the world. I didn't want to face the reality of anything. So yeah, it was a super challenging time, but I'm so pleased to say now that I'm fully fit and healthy and raring to go whenever the racing does happen. And it has been a lot of hard work, and I can't say it's all just down to me. I have to thank the team around me. As an athlete, you know, when you're stood on the podium winning races, it's, you know, all the limelight's on you. But I always like to use the pyramid analogy, that the athletes on the top and the layers below are all your team that help you get there. So the amount of, you know, time I've had from physios, my psychologist, my coach, my dad, my family, my friends, you know, they all play a part in it, especially when you're injured. You know, the good times there, easy to kind of roll with, but the low times they're quite challenging. And yeah, I'm thankful to have a super team around me, because I think, you know, if I didn't have them, I probably would have ended up stopping. So yeah, never take for granted who you've got around you, and always be thankful are my advice on that.
That's really good advice, and I think some of the sort of key things you've touched on there can apply to students in school. So you're talking about taking yourself away from something, taking yourself away from the sport to let yourself recover. And I think with students going back to school, they had that big lockdown to start with, and they've been back in school for a short period, and they've had another 3 month lockdown, and they've been off school remote learning. And sometimes when you have a bad day and you potentially have those feelings of falling behind with work and worries and stress and anxiety about, am I ever going to catch up? And what's the point? I'm so far behind, I'll never catch up. And I think the worst thing somebody can do is sit behind a computer screen for 3 hours every evening when they get back from school and think, I need to work to catch up, because they're going to wear themselves out. They're going to drain themselves out.
Definitely.
And I think if they have those feelings of anxiety, potentially it's time to have a weekend where maybe you don't do any work and you just enjoy something, that whether it's a sport or a walk with your family or walk the dog or just watching TV and chilling out and just doing something for yourself almost. If you have put the work in to try and catch
up.
Reward yourself, don't punish yourself more than you need to.
No, definitely. And it can become, I like to use the analogy again of a bubble. You can be so focused and it can become so intense sometimes that you can't see a way out of it, especially if you're, you know, working towards getting a certain grade or getting selected for the race or the team. It can become so overwhelming. And like you say, it can be easy just to hide yourself away. And I think that's where you've got to make sure you've got stuff in place. So coping strategies, like you just mentioned, taking time for yourself, doing stuff you enjoy, whether it's going for a walk with a friend or walking your dog or just having a day of listening to some of your favourite music or watching a series or, going out and, when obviously normal circumstances are with a group of friends, and cycling or running or going swimming or to the gym, making sure that that's in place. I think that's key.
Definitely. And I think the first person I had on in this podcast spoke a lot about his own experiences with mental health and how he's overcome them. And he was saying that one thing that he does, well, he's a barber at the moment, so he gets to talk to people every single day. And he thinks one of the key things that's helped him understand mental health a little bit better is just to talk to somebody. But knowing when to talk and how to talk. And we spoke about how potentially break time at school, if you're worried about something or stressed, probably isn't the best time, because you've got 15 minutes and you don't want to stop halfway through a conversation. So it's maybe taking time on a weekend to go for a walk with a friend when we can do that again and talk through things, talk through stresses, anxieties, because I think the more we talk, the more we realise that you're not the only one feeling that way. And everybody else 100%. Has got those feelings in.
We're all human.
We are, yeah. And the more you talk to people, the more you realise actually everybody's got something going on. And it might be different, but you can all relate to each other a little bit and take strength from that almost. And we spoke as well about how to listen to somebody talk and not to interrupt and not to assume. I think that's one of the worst things somebody can do is to assume. And I think, especially with yourself, you say you're working with a psychologist. Obviously, they're more trained than I am, but in terms of they wouldn't just assume and they'd talk through things and let you talk. So I think that's a message that we should try and pass on. And I want to build on that again a little bit now. So you've said that we've spoken about dealing with injury, but you're obviously very, very successful. But if you're not successful, how do you deal with that? Because I think students in school, and we spoke before we started recording, that if you're in a team sport, you've got people around you when you win and you feel very happy. But the same as an individual sport, as a team sport, when you lose, you deal with it differently. And I think children in school, if they potentially don't succeed at something academically, they take it all to heart immediately. And I think that, well, one of the things I like to try and say in PE is you don't learn from winning, you learn from losing. There's no point going out and my sport's football and winning a game 10-0 every week, because you're never going to get any better. But it's only through that sort of hard fought 2-2 draw or a 3-0 loss that you start to learn things. Could you apply that to your sport? So have you ever dealt with any sort of failures that you've ever had or any challenges?
Oh, massively. I massively agree with everything you've said there. And looking back, although some of my losses, if you like, I don't like thinking about, it's actually those that have shaped me and allowed me to carry on and be so competitive in what I do. And as much as winning feels great, or getting the highest mark, or, you know, winning the football match every week, it's like you say, those failures, they can ultimately help you lead to the biggest successes. And I think it is hard, because when you put your life, you know, your heart and soul into it every day, it obviously is a massive disappointment when you have a loss. But yeah, I think it's just about breaking down those losses and looking for the positives. That's something I've had to learn to do. It's a massive skill, because obviously it's, your brain will naturally be drawn into the negative. But there's always positives in everything, even those failures where you think there isn't, there is. And I think that's what I've got better at. I'm still working at it. It's not no one's born with those skills. You have to work at it constantly, especially being the type of person I am. I'm super competitive. I want to win and do well in everything I do, whether it's something to do with my cycling or off the bike studying. But yeah, I just try and take the positive from everything I do and then implement them going forwards. And if each time I can, you know, get a bit better and I'm, you know, the general curve is moving forwards, then I think you can be proud and satisfied with that.
That's some really good some good advice there for our students. And I wanted to sort of touch on something that you mentioned earlier, and it's really weird because I failed my A-levels. And I tell the students all the time that just because you fail something, it doesn't mean you can't stop getting to where you want to be. Because I've always wanted to be a PE teacher, and I've ended up in that position. Yeah. And my first year at Solihull Sixth Form, so I'd have been there probably the year before you. So I'm a year older than yourself. And okay. I failed my first year of A-levels, my AS levels. I got a C in PE, a C in biology, a U in maths, and a U in history. And I remember making that phone call to my dad and thinking, as soon as I tell him, I'm in trouble here. I don't know how I'm going to word it, but I'm in trouble. But I ended up resitting, not being able to do my A2 levels. So the second year of A-level, that's what it was called back then. But I did BTEC Sport. So I re-enrolled at the school, at the college. And it's really weird because there must have been two classes, because I'd have been then in your year. So we'd have been one class apart. And I sort of took positives from the fact that although I got a U in history and a U in maths, I knew that's not necessarily the route I wanted to take, but I wanted to take sport and take PE. So that C in A-level PE was actually really beneficial for me. And I could understand that, you know, I've got a C in PE, I've got a C in biology, I'll do well in a sports subject when I go back to it. And I sort of took the positive from the negative, and it was a massive negative. And my dad made that very obvious when I told him. But I think balancing it out, having that negative feedback from my dad was good, because it set me straight into a straighter line, and I stopped messing around in college, and the next year I really knuckled down. But I also took the positives from, okay, I got a C in that, so I must have been quite good at PE. Although it was bad, I took a positive from it.
Yeah, and that's a success story in itself. you know, sometimes, you know, you don't achieve and succeed in your first go at something. And I think never giving up, that's something I live by. It would have been easy for me after the amount of injuries I've had to have just put the bike down and gone and got a normal job, as some people like to say. But for me, what keeps me going is I want to be the best I can be. And I think if you know deep down that you haven't got to your potential or you're the best you can be, I think for me, I'm the sort of person that I want to fulfill that, and then I can look back with no regrets. Like yourself, you knew that was not what you were capable of, and you had a goal of being a PE teacher. So I think it's credit to you for going back and getting that when you could have easily walked away and just done something that you were less passionate about because it was the easier way. So yeah, definitely never give up and keep going. If you've got a dream, keep chasing it.
Yeah, even if
I am still today, because I believe I've got so much more to, you know, more potential, and I'm not the best athlete I can be yet. So yeah, I'm still going.
Oh, that's good, because I think, and I took a lot of stick actually that second year, and I did consider pulling out, so my friends had gone into that second year of A-level, and then I just had to re-enroll, and I was a year behind everyone. It was that bit of a massive knock to the ego, because the year before I thought, look at me, I'm in college, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and I was having this really good time. And then all of a sudden, your friends have accelerated past you, and you've taken a step back, and you almost feel a little bit silly taking that step back, but everyone's journey is different. You can be... There's no such thing as, I saw a quote, there's no such thing as being a behind or ahead. You're where you are, and that's where you are.
Yeah, and always take a moment to, it's so easy nowadays, I think, especially with social media, you know, Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, kind of portraying what the perfect image is or the perfect way of doing something. And I don't think there is no right or wrong. Everyone's an individual. And if it takes someone a few years longer to get somewhere, then it doesn't matter. And I think that's the key with sport. I mean, it's quite easy to look at someone who's young and winning and everything's going right, but if you've had a different set of circumstances, like for myself, for example, I had a lot of injuries, so of course I'm not going to be in the same position as someone else who has had a clear run. So yeah, I think that's the key message there, is there's no right or wrong. And just keep going on the path that you want to, you know, you're passionate about, and you where you want to get to, because it does take people, some people longer than others, and yeah, there's no right or wrong with anything.
That's a really good bit of advice, especially with our students at school at sort of year 7, 8, and 9, and that's when especially if they're in academies, especially, and football seems to be the most brutal way, because they take them so young, and then by the time they get year seven and eight, they've promised this dream of, you're going to do this, you're going to be the elite. You've got all these pressure of footballers, look what cars they drive every time they see them turn up to training. And all of a sudden, right, you're out, you're not tall enough, or you're not strong enough, or you're not fast enough. And that's the end of the dream. And I think they need to realise that that's fine, because the best time to get taken into any sport, potentially, if somebody picks you up for being talented, is probably 14, 15 years old. Because by then they sort of know where you're going, they know what physical attributes you've got or how good you are, and you're on that sort of route to reaching your potential. And it's the same as in, I imagine, in most sports. Well, my knowledge is in football, but it's just the academy system is brutal, and it's probably wrong, because if you look at academy football in Germany, the students don't just play football, they have to represent the team at basketball and other sports. They have to have a fully rounded different sports, and I think that keeps them grounded, and I think it takes the pressure off potentially a little bit, and makes it more about enjoyment than the pressure of I need that scholarship contract, and that's the be all and end all.
No, that's it. And it's definitely easy to become, like I mentioned before, like specialize in something way too young, and I think that adds pressure in itself and takes enjoyment out. And I think at the end of the day, enjoyment should be placed above everything, especially when you're at that young age, you're still developing, you're quite vulnerable, and I think, you know, looking back, I was so serious, and sometimes I didn't necessarily enjoy everything I was doing because I put so much pressure on. I had to do well, I had to win, I had to be the best form every single session. And I think some of that's just down to obviously when you're younger, you don't have that experience.
Yeah.
When you're older to kind of you know, understand the journey, that it's not just going to be up like that, it's going to be, you know, riding the waves, if you like. But yeah, no, I think the key is definitely to just enjoy and get stuck into as much as you can what's on offer in school or out of school. And yeah, don't specialize and become serious too young. I know some sports are more earlier specialization than late specialization, but I only got into cycling seriously at 16 17, so that was quite late, if you like, in comparison to some of the other cyclists who did it from, you know, 7 8 years old.
I think that's a really nice message to, and that's hopefully our students in sort of year 10 and 11 can realize that, you know, they might not have found their sport yet.
Yeah.
And then by being a bit more open-minded and a bit more creative and a bit more adventurous, potentially going to a rugby training session, a cricket, getting a bike, going out on a bike, and contacting, you say, Solihull Cycling Club, and just talking to people and trying to get involved in something that could be for them.
That's it. And you don't know unless you try. You might think, oh no, that's definitely not for me. I mean, I never envisaged I'd be riding professionally on the road and on the track. When I was skating or swimming when I was younger as well for Solihull Swimming Club, I never would have thought my journey would have panned out the way it has. So yeah, definitely, I think, get stuck into everything and don't just focus on one thing, because that pressure can really suck out all the enjoyment. And I think that's where, like you say, the football academies and the academies in cycling, they're great pathways to help develop you, but they can, obviously, the downfall with them, they can place huge amounts of pressure on young athletes. And it is sad to see when athletes stop because they might have been told they're not as fast as so-and-so. But like I mentioned before, everyone's different. They develop at different times. They get their strength at different times. So yeah, I think the key is if you're in them environments and you are told you might not make it or get to where you want, don't let it stop you. Carry on and keep going, especially if you enjoy it. Don't let someone say that you're not gonna, you know, get to where you want to. If you enjoy it, carry on.
I think that's a really nice message, and I think it's a message we could sort of finish on today. And hopefully, I think that's one of the sort of takeaway things from it, is just to, doesn't matter what anyone says, if you enjoy it, do it. If it's something that makes you happy and you enjoy taking part, carry on doing it, because you're not trying to make everyone else happy, and somebody else's happiness doesn't affect you. If you're happy and you enjoy it, go and play that sport, or go and do that activity, whatever it may be. I just want to say thank you for giving up your time, and especially at the moment, you say you're training, and you said you're training double sessions next week, and you've got your study in as well, and just to give up this sort of 45 minutes hour and have this chat is really appreciated. And hopefully our students seeing that you're from Solihull and recognizing the names of schools and the cycling tracks and cycling clubs, they can be sort of motivated and inspired by your messages today. Is there anything you'd want to add on or say thank you to anybody? It's your opportunity to sort of say any sponsors or anything like that that could be.
I think I'd definitely like to say thanks. Obviously, I'd mentioned my dad and my family there. You know, I'd like to thank my dad because he never, you know, stops believing in me, even when I might doubt myself and have those down times. But also, going back, I'd like to say thank you to Tudor Grange Academy, because they were a fantastic support, as were Solihull Sixth Form, and they played a massive part in helping me reach my successes. Also Red Kite Cycles local bike shop for their continued support in helping me get whatever equipment I need, all my bike servicing I need whenever I need it. My physios that I've worked with, Simon Cooper at Tudor Grange Leisure Centre, Wayne Gilderstone, also a Solihull physio. My psychologist, Dr. Jennifer Cummins, who works as a lecturer at Birmingham.
Yeah, University. She lectured me when I was there in a psychology course. Yeah.
Yeah, so I've worked with her for 11 years now, so a massive thank you to her. And then recently I've just been taken on board by Science and Sport, so massive thanks to them for supplying all my nutrition, which will hopefully help me get some good results when the racing resumes. So yeah, just thank you to everyone. Being an elite athlete's super hard at times, and yeah, I think having the team around you is crucial. You can't do it alone. It's not something you can do alone. So thank you to everybody.
Well, best of luck for the future. And I think I speak on behalf of our students as well, hearing that story, and hopefully we see some more of your name in the papers and on TV in the future.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I hope you really enjoyed that podcast. I really appreciate Danielle giving up her time to talk to me and talk to you guys about her career, her journey through school and her aspirations for the future. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please like it, please subscribe to the channel, have a look at our social media accounts and follow us on those too.